Podcast, Midweek Edition.
Genuinely wants to spend the rest of his career at Tottenham Hotspur. I think he's mad.
I'm sorry, how can he escape Flash? It's unbelievable.
So this is an obvious snap. It's a team in great form at home against a team who just aren't that good.
I think he'll score some goals in League One in 17-10 any time. Deadly from set pieces and in the air.
Right, the boss is up for manager of the month. They've been phenomenal. Their odds against. Love it.
Subscribe to The Punt on iTunes, listen on Audio Boom, or look out for the link on Twitter or on William Hill's Facebook page.
Hello and welcome to The Punt Podcast with William Hill. Alex Dunn in the presenter's chair for this midweek edition, standing in for Dave Kellner. But don't worry, because Derek McGovern and Andy Excel are still here. Mr. McGovern, how are you?
Yes, very well. Still trying to recover from Liverpool's dismal exit from the Cup on Saturday. But as anyone who would have listened to the bulletin last week would know, it came as no surprise to moi.
A little more on that in just a few moments. Mr. Excel, good afternoon to you.
Good day.
You all right?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks.
So we don't need to touch on Arsenal because they're already out the Cup. No offence, Sandy. Derek, Liverpool crashed out of the Cup in a... A game that was heavily influenced by VAR. Let's just touch on this for a moment. What do you make of it, Derek?
It's an absolute shambles. I said it before it was introduced, and my opinion has only been reinforced by what we saw at Anfield. It was a game that started brilliantly. 3 goals in the first 10 minutes, and the whole momentum was stopped. And I could not believe that the TV pundits were all going on, well, you know, yeah, in fairness, they got the correct decision. Well, of course it got the correct decision. It's like saying, you know, a footballer takes a nice throw in. That's what it's there for, to get the correct decision. The big fear about it was that it would ruin the flow of the game. And that game was ruined by VAR on Saturday. In 5 years' time, if we continue with it, matches will have 100% correct decisions. The only problem is no one will be watching.
Apart from maybe a TV audience, which is one of the arguments, isn't it, Andy, that it's purely to cater for those who are watching at home. And if you're in the ground, chances are you wouldn't have a clue what's going on.
Well, no, and that's the bit they need to get right. And coming from a trading background that's been involved with US sports, look at the NFL. Look what they do. They put it on the TV. They tell the crowd what's going on via microphone. Even the officials will go and speak to the coaches and explain the decision. So everybody knows what's happened. Even if it takes a bit longer, the communication's got to be sorted out.
But why do we have it? Why don't we just get rid of it? Football's the greatest game in the world without it. At the moment, we're in danger of ruining the game. Why do we need it? We get some wrong decisions, big deal.
I think we need it. I think we need to get the right decision. It's worked in other sports. It works in rugby. It works in cricket. It works in US sports.
But they're all stop-start sports, aren't they? Football, as we see, it ruins the flow of the game. It doesn't matter how quickly they reach a decision. It's not going to be quick enough to stop the flow of the game being interrupted. And that's just unacceptable, totally unacceptable.
Look at this. We've got a proper argument going on here. I quite like it. I don't know if Kellner normally has to referee between you two like this. But
difference of opinion,
he's
Jimmy.
He's calling people to all kinds of things off air. He's in a belligerent mood, as Excel.
You should hear what Alex was asking me to call you before we came on it.
That's all right. Derek knows exactly what he is. Don't worry about it. I'm afraid I'm probably going to side with you here, Derek. It just stops the game. I couldn't believe there were only 4 minutes of time added on at half-time because the game had been stopped for getting on for 8-9 minutes in total in that first half. And that's before you factor in substitutions, injuries, etc. It needs a lot of work, I'd say, before we have to use it properly, if you like. Just, Andy, you mentioned from a trading point of view, just out of interest, on the William Hill console, would it have flashed up goal? And would that goal have been there for, say, 2.5 minutes, you know, when West Brom scored the third that wasn't the third?
The goal would have gone in, the match would have suspended.
So no one could have taken advantage of it, if you like.
No.
But
no,
it's just interesting, isn't it? How it's going to change a lot of things.
Is one of the downsides for us from a trading point of view is that it means longer suspensions than we'd like.
Yeah.
So it does affect us negatively. But I'm just getting... there's probably people who know me all around the world thinking, this can't be happening. Is the voice of change?
But then... Well, we've mentioned Liverpool. There were no major shocks, were there, in terms of teams being dumped out of the competition? West Ham perhaps away at Wigan, but the betting suggested that they weren't going to go very far. Spurs against Newport is probably the standout game, if you like.
That was the closest. And I mean, when we first talked about the FA Cup before the third round, I said the only thing magic about the FA Cup is all the little teams disappear quickly. And I just said at the time, back one of the big teams to win it, you probably get about 8 or 10 on that happens. It's a very short price, but they've won 29 out of the last 31. So, you know, I know we've lost two of them, but if you looked at the betting now, you're still betting about 10 on that one of the four remaining win it.
Yeah.
So, you know, I just think one of the big teams will end up winning it because they're that much better than everybody else these days, even with the shadow teams.
And of course, Derek, we're recording this prior to the draw on Monday evening, but is the magic of the Cup dwindling a little? After the first round, I was full of the joys of the FA Cup, and now, might just be because Newcastle have been dumped out again, but you do sort of get that feeling of just, the Tottenham game aside, inevitability almost about it.
Well, I'm not sure about that. I mean, I think they've been shocked. I mean, you look at the betting on Saturday, the Liverpool were long odds on to go through. They're out, albeit by another Premier League side. The magic of the Cup has long gone. It's not just this season, it's long gone. You know, when you're getting teams in the Championship playing second string side, well, that's a death knell for a competition. There's so many mistakes they've made. I mean, do we need to rehash them now? Let Man United pull out a few years, or 10 years ago, whenever it was, 20 years ago, moving the semi-finals to Wembley, buggering around with the kickoff time of the final, sometimes playing it before the season finishes, sometimes playing it on the same weekend as Premier League matches.
Yeah.
If you wanted to kill the FA Cup, they were the moves you would take.
No, that's true. That's true. Anyway, we've got Premier League action to hopefully brighten our midweeks up. And we've got two televised games. We'll start on Tuesday, 8 o'clock kickoff for the first of those televised games. It's Huddersfield against Liverpool. Huddersfield are 9-1. The draw is 4-1. And Liverpool in the betting at 3-1 on here. Interesting, Bobby Firmino, Derek, missed that penalty, of course, against West Brom. But does very, very well against newly promoted sides since he's joined Liverpool. He's got 7 goals in 11 games, adding a few assists as well. But Liverpool 3's on here. We've already seen that, you know, they beat Man City and then they've lost to both Swansea and West Brom. Huddersfield are certainly in that ilk, aren't they?
Yeah, they sure are. I mean, you know, your odd compiler's making Liverpool 1-3. They can only assume they haven't watched them the last two games. I only wish I hadn't. They were absolutely diabolical in both. And so much for Van Dijk, Virgil Van Dijk as the saviour. I mean, VAR came to Liverpool's rescue more than BVD did. BVV, what's his name again? BVD did.
It's a good scramble score anyway, Ron.
I mean, Liverpool were a shambles. A goalie who's not fit for purpose. A back four who looked like they've never played together, and that's because they haven't. Midfield with no guile whatsoever. And a forward line that when Firmino isn't firing, it just doesn't fire. I noticed in one of the papers, Salah got man of the match. Dear me, he was absolutely atrocious. And this, you mentioned that the big six teams are better than everything else in the Premier League. Well, I'm not so sure that implies to Liverpool, because what I'm seeing from him, I've been Klopp's biggest critic this season. And everything that's happened in the last 2 weeks, or sorry, the last, 10 days, has underlined everything I've said. If his one plan doesn't work, he hasn't got a backup plan, and Liverpool are awful to watch right now. The only thing is, they're playing Huddersfield, who I still maintain are the worst team I've seen in the Premier League, and that includes the derbies and all those teams that finished with about 2 points. Huddersfield are awful. I keep looking at the league table and thinking, how are they where they are? I think they're 14th. It's not possible there are six teams worse than Huddersfield. There are not six teams in the English Football League worse than Huddersfield. So no matter how bad Liverpool are playing right now, I cannot see them not winning this game. It's the clash between the two German managers, isn't it, Klopp and Wagner? And I think in that your bet thing, you would hold your offer and odds on which of the two will first put down a towel in the dugout. Is that not right? Maybe I'm gonna request that. I've got to go for Liverpool at 1-3, but I'm not backing them at 1-3 because backing 1-3 losers, I've done it a million times and I'm fed up with it. I'm not doing that anymore. So I'm going to back. I think Liverpool, they're playing awfully right now. Like, let's get this straight. But I don't mind backing them at 5-2, -2 to beat Huddersfield. Because if they do get it right, they will murder Huddersfield. That's how bad Huddersfield are. So yeah. It sounds daft, given all my reservations about Liverpool. But no one understands quite how bad Huddersfield are more than me.
No, I don't mind that as an angle in, because if they are going to win, they're going to do it convincingly, or so you would think. Derek mentioned the your odds on Twitter. If you do want to get involved with this one, get in touch with our traders. There are enhanced odds as well on the game already on the website for Salah and Firmino both to score, pushed out from 14-5 to 4-1. That's probably the most eye-catching of those on the website. Andy, what do you like here?
I was waiting for. I was really looking forward to Derek's preview of this game. He doesn't like Klopp, and he absolutely despises Huddersfield. His post bag from Huddersfield must be. Oh, how does the postman cope? I'm kind of going down the same route as Derek, but I don't really have that much faith in either team. Huddersfield, their home form's been reasonable to a point. And Liverpool have gone completely off the ball since, who was it, Coutinho, do you remember him?
Yeah.
Those were the days, Derek. So I'd go down the both teams to score route. Liverpool, in six of their last eight games, both teams have scored, and Huddersfield have scored in their 9 of their last 11 at home. So if the outsider's got a chance of scoring, and Liverpool nearly always score, I'll take a chance on that. I think that's around even money or just north of it. So that seems reasonable to me.
Yeah, the price on Liverpool is far from enticing, so you do need to find a little bit of value. In fact, I'm going to go nap in this game. I'm going ugly early with this. Now, this is a good stat, I think. Huddersfield have scored the fewest, that's 7 goals, and conceded the most, 30 goals, in the second half of Premier League games so far this season. So for Liverpool's highest scoring half to be the second half, that's 6-5 in this game. Quite simply, Huddersfield don't score many and Liverpool do. So that could be a way in play as well, that one.
That's great, that is well found out there. Because when you were telling me that, I couldn't believe you were going to say 6-5. I thought you were going to say odds on.
Of course, it doesn't factor in the Huddersfield scoring few goals, but there are many markets that you can go in. You know, the second half betting, Liverpool are 8-13 if you think that they'll win the second half. And yeah, Liverpool high scoring half, second half is 6-5, right at the very bottom of the console for this game. But worth a look anyway, in a game that it is perhaps hard to find value in. What about Spurs Man U then? That's the Wednesday night televised game. 8 o'clock the kickoff time for this one. Spurs do not particularly like playing Manchester United. They've lost 80 top flight games against them. That's more than any other opponent. They lost to them earlier on this season. But this should be an intriguing game, Andy. Spurs are 13-10, the draw is 23-10, and Man United are also 23-10.
Yeah, midweek fleets of buses coming down from Manchester. Trouble is, they're going to be parked on the pitch. You won't have seen as many buses in Wembley since Evel Knievel. Look, they're going to come and do what they do, Man United, and it's going to be a low-scoring game. I've had a chat with our Your Odds people, and I've got a couple of stats. Under 3 goals in the game. Most of these games between these two teams are 1-0 by somebody. They're pretty close and cagey. But both teams tend to have lots of corners in their games. So I've built something around under 3 goals and over 10 corners. And I also fancy Spurs to win, which for an Arsenal fan is painful to say. But if you have Spurs to win, under 3 goals, over 10 corners, I'm told that's going to be 7-1. And when I go back upstairs, I should get them to put it out.
Okay.
So I'm told that's going to be 7-1. So that seems all right to me. I just think Spurs are the better team here, if I'm honest. And I think they're in reasonable form. All right, they didn't get home against Newport at the weekend. But other than that, I think they've been playing okay. And I wonder what sort of reception Mr. Sanchez will get, by the way.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. We've got enhanced odds. Kane to score, Tottenham to win. Pushed out from 21-10 to 3-1. Not often that you're going to get that kind of price about Kane scoring in a Spurs win this season. Sanchez to score, Man U to win. Pushed out from 4s to 5s. Do you think Sanchez starts, though, Derek? Because Martial's been in cracking form. He's arguably been in the best form that he's been in a Man United shirt.
Yeah, but he ain't Sanchez. Sanchez has got to start in this game. If he's not, I'll be asking why. The money they're paying him, the tug of war over him, he's got to play in this game. And I disagree with Andy. I don't think Tottenham are playing well at all. I think they've gone massively off the boil, almost as badly as Liverpool. I think they're there for the taking, you know. And Man United's record at Wembley when Fergie was in his pomp, they did so well. But they've won each of their last 6 games at Wembley, scoring at least twice every time. They're meeting the Tottenham side that just aren't at it at the moment. I don't know whether Christian Eriksen is fit enough to play, but he's been a big miss for them recently. It goes against the grain to back United away from home, or indeed at home, or even on neutral territory. But 23-10, I know they'll play safe. United. I know he'll park the bus and look not to concede. But I think with Sanchez playing, United are more likely to score than they have been in a long time. I like United here. I think 23-10 is a big price.
Okay. Draw no bet 5-4 as well, and plus a goal 6-10 if you are looking to maybe form an accumulator around Man U being defensively sound. But Man U just edging it for Derek. And Andy, would you go with the your odds?
Like I say, I worked that one out, and I've asked them what the price would be, and they told me 7-1. So I think that's all right.
Yeah. Okay then. Right, we'll move to the non-televised games. We'll jump back to Tuesday's action. We've got three games to come, and we can have a little chat about the rest of the games as well. But the ones in detail start with West Ham against Palace, Tuesday, 7:45 for this one. West Ham, who, quite simply, Derek, have not got many players at the minute.
No.
Bad injury crisis. Of course, they went out of the cup, which long-term may well be a good thing for them.
Yeah, well, I got suckered into going for West Ham at the weekend because the price had gone out so far to beat Wigan. You know, they were actually underdogs in that game, and I wasn't having that. And in the end, they just didn't turn up. They played like they wanted to go out. You see a different West Ham this time, you got to, but they've still got all these injury problems, and even the fully fit West Ham side aren't playing great. An interesting stat here about West Ham, though, and one that I meant to bring in to the Liverpool game as well. Just briefly going back to that Liverpool game, they've lost their last two Premier League away games, Liverpool, on a Tuesday. Well, by the opposite side of the coin, West Ham have won 5 of their last 6 Premier League games on a Tuesday. Mm. I have no idea how that works out or why anybody would bother to check that up, but I still find it a fascinating stat. You know, I like Crystal Palace. I'm always prepared to back them when they're playing at home. And since Roy Hodgson's taken over, I'm always prepared to back against him because I just don't have him as a manager. But I can't believe this stat as well. They've only lost 3 of their last 15 Premier League games, Crystal Palace.
Mm.
I find that incredible for a team that's, you know, still not free of relegation. So maybe Roy is doing something that I'm not seeing. 6-4 is no kind of value for them to win at West Ham, though. I'm sorry, even with West Ham's injury problems, that is a terrible, terrible price. I'm not in a rush to back West Ham either. I think I'm going to have to play safe here and go for the draw.
Okay. Interesting that with two of the managers that you speak so highly of all the time, Derek.
Yeah.
Moyes has actually got a really good record against Roy Hodgson in a record going back to the dinosaur age, I think. 8 games between them in the Premier League, 6 wins for Moyes. And, yeah, I was surprised to see them as the outsiders here, even though they do have plenty of injuries. They do have a few new signings to come in, though, don't they, Andy?
Well, yeah, and... But it's kind of both teams in a bit of a limbo period, and you don't really know what to make of them. So I see, I think I'm persuading Derek to come over to the dark side with backing draws. but I think that's, you know, quite often you get games where the most likely outcome is the third biggest price, and this outside of the three, and I think that's the case here. So I'd be with Derek on the draw. We've got to agree once today, haven't we?
Interesting as well. Luka Milivojevic has now scored in his last 3 away games for Crystal Palace in the league, and he's 4-1 to score any time. You'd imagine he's on penalty duties, but of course he missed that one against Man City, but I'm sure Christian Benteke won't be.
Do you know, that's a good one to say as well, because I think if you go back through the last 2 or 3 seasons, in the top 2 or 3 for giving penalties away every season are West Ham. Mm. So it's always worth backing the penalty taker against them.
Yeah. 4-1 any time if you do think he's going to take spot kicks, which hopefully he will. But a tricky enough game to call on Tuesday evening. What about Wednesday evening then? We've got Newcastle against Burnley. This one doesn't look that much easier, to be honest. I think the biggest indictment of the lack of quality currently on offer in this game is the fact that these two sides have got the joint lowest scorers, that is the top scorer for their team so far this season, if that makes sense. Hosseluu and Sam Vokes have got 4 goals apiece, and they're the top scorers for the respective sides. Newcastle 23-20, the draw 2-1. Burnley are 11-4 here, Andy.
Yeah, and if you fancy Burnley here, and traditionally one of us puts them up every week, if you do fancy them here, you'd have to go 1-0. Because that's how they do it, away from home in particular recently. If you're going to back Burnley, why not get on the 1-0? Because it's probably the most likely. Because, like you say, not prolific in front of goal by any stretch of the imagination.
7-1, that is, by the way, 1-0 Burnley.
Yeah, that's probably... You couldn't really twist my arm to have a bet in this game, if I was honest. But if I was, I'd go in that direction.
Okay. You mentioned Burnley to Inter-Nil as a possible player. And it's interesting, Derek, that Newcastle's home form has been pretty wretched of late. They've not won at home for 7 Premier League games, but Burnley are on a pretty wretched record in the league as well.
Yeah, they are. I mean, we were getting prices like this for Burnley away against moderate teams earlier in the season, and we kept lumping on. But they were in form then, and they're not in form now, and you still get the same prices, and you look at them and you think, that's too big, that. But 11-4, it's too big to beat Newcastle, isn't it? I'm almost tempted to go for them, but I'm going to play a bit safe and go unders on the goals, because it's got to be a 0-0 or a 1-0 game, this. I mean, it seems so long since Burnley last scored. The drought has gone on for so long. I think the local council has slapped the hosepipe ban on them. It just doesn't. You just don't seem to score. And I can't go for them at 11-4. I can understand Andy's thinking there, the 1-0. I remember a long, long time ago when England played Scotland in a Euro playoff or something or other, and I thought, if Scotland are going to win this, it's going to be a 1-0 win. And if they're going to score, it's going to be Don Hutchison scoring for them. So I had a few bob at 100-1, exactly that happened, and that's exactly what happened. It's a similar kind of match, this one. Newcastle are way too short. If you don't get 3 points in this, I think Rafa will be having questions to answer. But the 23-20 makes zero appeal. I see the draw is only 2-1, and that is as short as you're ever going to get, aren't you, in a Premier League contest, with good reason. In fact, I wouldn't go for the draw. I'll go for a 0-0.
Okay. Slightly uninspiring 0-0 draw, perhaps, at 6-1. Worth noting as well that is transfer deadline day, isn't it, Wednesday? And if Newcastle still haven't got any players in, there could be a slightly toxic atmosphere around St James's Park. Could be worth noting if Mike Ashley doesn't put his hand in his wallet anytime soon. The final game that we're going to focus on in detail is Stoke against Watford. This one, an 8 o'clock kickoff. Stoke 5-4, the draw 12-5, and Watford in the betting at 23-10. Two managers, Derek, that were in charge of their clubs not too long ago. Paul Lambert against Javi Gracia. Interestingly, Watford, the first Premier League side to have two Spanish managers. But that's not surprising, given that they have a new manager every 6 weeks or so.
Yeah, I think they need a couple of managers, Spanish managers at the same time to sort out the mess they're in at the moment. I mean, earlier in the season, I was made up with Watford and the manager too. I mean, they were unrecognisable from what we saw at the tail end of last season. They looked like a side who were playing football the right way. But then the form just went off a cliff and they can't seem to get anything. Stoke, I mean, Paul Lambert, the most uninspiring managerial appointment since, you know, the one before at West Ham and Crystal Palace and one or two other teams like that. Lambert says the players are 100% behind him. Well, I think that's 10% Peter Crouch, 15% Glenn Johnson, 8% Charlie Adam. Because if you were a Premier League footballer playing for Stoke and Paul Lambert comes in with his, you know, very, very moderate track record, I don't think you're going to be too happy with that. Stoke are 5-4, make zero appeal. I think Watford are a better team than Stoke, but at the moment they can't get a result, so I can't back them. I'm going to have to go low on the goals. I wouldn't be surprised if this was an under 1.5 goals game, which I think is just below the 2-1 mark when I last looked.
Even money for under 2.5. Is that what you said?
No, under 1.5.
Oh, under 1.5. Sorry, 3-1. 3-1.
Yeah, well, that's a big price.
Yeah,
that's a big price for under 1.5 goals in this game.
Interesting, because Stoke, Andy, have looked pretty wretched. Then Paul Lambert comes in and they at least results anyway may well pick up, and they did in his first game. Watford are on such a slide at the minute. Watford could quite feasibly go down. They need to pick up some points sooner rather than later, but they do have that new manager impact that may play into their hands.
Yeah, he's a very gritty style of manager. It won't be pretty at Watford anymore for the rest of this season and as long as he's there. But they'll start grinding things out. And going to Stoke is somewhere where you need to grind something out. So I'm with Derek here on the low scoring front. And again, to me, the most likely outcome in the match is the biggest price. So 12-5, the draw again. Don't think you can go far wrong with that here. What on the subject of Watford, if ever they should be singing Sack the Board, they turned 10 million down for the manager and then they let him go.
Yeah.
And what are they doing? And they've had to pay off his salary as well. How could they have spent that more wisely? Well, almost anyway.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. I can't believe what they've done there.
I'm going to just throw one player at you, and this might be lunacy.
Don't make it Troy Deeney, it'll hurt.
Yes, it will. Moritz Bauer is 18-1 to score any time for Stoke. Now, he's a right back. I don't think he goes up for corners, so you're not even getting that aspect, but he flies forward. He's a really attacking fullback. 18 to 1 any time. If he's that kind of price every week, I fancy he'll score before the end of the season. Just worth a look, if nothing else.
Yeah, keep an eye on that. I like bets like that. He's
almost like Daryl Yanmat is for Watford. I say can't defend for Toffee. That's Yanmat. But whether Bauer's the same, I wouldn't know just yet. But could be worth a look anyway. Again, a tricky clash, Stoke Watford. And there are some difficult games, aren't there, on the rest of the card, if you like. The other game on Tuesday that we've not mentioned is, I think that's the Everton game, isn't it? It's Swansea-Arsenal is the Tuesday night one. And then on Wednesday, we've got Everton-Leicester. We've also got Chelsea-Bournemouth, Southampton-Brighton and Man City-West Brom. Anything else jumping out of you, not from a NAP point of view, but for either of you gents in any of those games?
Well, the Everton-Leicester game, I looked at that fixture and thought, I can't wait to see Leicester's price because I fancy them big time. 13-8 is shorter than I was hoping, but I'll still be lumping on.
Okay. Andy, anything else?
Yeah, I'm with him on that one, Leicester. And even to win to nil, I think might be all right. I put that up at the weekend and they managed to concede one for the first time in six games. Mm. And Everton, they have about one shot on target a game.
Yeah.
So I like Leicester and I like Leicester to nil. The other one, it grieves me to say it again, but given Arsenal's away form this season, Swansea at 6-1 under a new manager, I wouldn't be a million miles away from that.
They're a lot better.
Yeah.
Much better with the change of manager. And they're hard to beat now. I think that's the key. They're not just having their tummies tickled and rolling over, are they?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and midweek away from home, I'm always wary of teams, and particularly when they haven't got a great away record, and that's certainly true of Arsenal this season.
And Alfie Mawson, 15-2 any time to do exactly what he did against Liverpool, and again, Arsenal from set pieces, it could happen, couldn't it?
Is he just getting at us, Derek?
Oh, dear. Right, Naps then. I've already nailed my colours to the mast with the Liverpool to score. Liverpool's highest scoring half, I should say, to be the second half in their game against Huddersfield. That's 6-5. That's going to be the nap of, well, Dave Kellner. But I've put a lot of work into that, and I don't really want him stealing it. But anyway, there you go.
Yeah, I know you mean. That's a good one, that. It's a very persuasive case you've made there. I'm going to go for Leicester. A little bit shorter than I wanted, but I do think they'll beat Everton. Leicester 13-8.
Okay. Andy?
I'm in desperation mode to catch up, so I'm going with my own created Euro odds 7-1 for Spurs to win under 3 goals and over 10 corners as a Euro odds selection. So I'll try and get a 7-1 in.
There you go. Right, good stuff. We're going to hear from Pete, Gav and Al now for their best bets in the lower leagues this midweek. We're not going to have a Naps update this week. We'll save that treat for the weekend. I'll hand back to Dave Kellner to take charge of that. But thank you, Andy, for joining me.
A pleasure.
And the same to you, Derek.
Yeah, pleasure, lads. Speak soon.
We'll be back at the weekend for more Premier League action.
You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
Hi, I'm Pete Farries, and first, before we get to this week's nap, let's look at last week's nap, QPR at Bristol City. QPR dominated Bristol City early doors. Bristol City went down to 10. And somehow QPR then collapsed. Ultimately, they had loads of shots, they had loads of big chances, but while some of my naps this season have been poor, I strike that one simply down as incredibly unlucky, a bizarre game of football at Ashton Gate. But on to the next one, and the next one is going to be Derby County at 9-5 to win away at Millwall on Tuesday night. Millwall haven't lost at home since November, so you do have to bear that in mind, and some good teams have been there as well, including Middlesbrough and Sheffield United, along, of course, with that great 2-2 draw against Wolves. But Derby haven't conceded in 4 of their last 5 away games. They scored 3 at Borough, 3 at Barnsley, 3 at Birmingham and 2 at Ipswich. They're full of good form, they're full of good confidence, and for me, Millwall's performance against Rochdale in the FA Cup at the weekend was not good, and to be fair, you could argue they didn't deserve to even get a draw from the game. So for me, 9-5 for Derby to beat most teams in this championship looks very, very good indeed, so I'll take it very happily for them to win at the Den. Millwall, not for me, Derby at 9-5. Let's hear from Gav Puszczalowski.
My last two nap selections, both have actually taken the lead and both have not gone on to win. I hope this is not the case of Wigan away at Rochdale. Ironically enough, Wigan, last time away from home, went behind at Plymouth and won by 3-1. And if Wigan win away at Rochdale on Tuesday night in this all Lancashire affair, it will be 7 straight wins for Wigan on the road. 21 points out of 21, and I think they're good at 8-11 to win away at Rochdale. But there actually could be a better price, and it's up to you whether you play it or not. But Wigan, of their last six victories on the road, five of them have been over 2.5 goals. There's only a 1-0 victory away at Northampton that have been unders. And over 2.5 goals between Rochdale and Wigan is actually evens. It is a better price for over 2.5 goals in this game at Spotland than it is for Wigan just to win. And I'm very tempted to put that up with my NAP selection, but I'm playing it a little bit safer because there's still a chance that Wigan could win this 1 or 2-0. But Wigan at 8-11 on my NAP selection to win in League One on Tuesday night. Looking at League Two, here's Al Ross.
There isn't a team involved in this round of midweek fixtures that are higher in the form table than Swindon. Four wins in five, the only games they haven't won since before the festive period were against Luton and Coventry, and they came from 3-1 down to beat Crewe 4-3 at the weekend, which tells you a lot about the spirit in the camp. But mainly, for the umpteenth time this season, I'm talking about Swindon's away form, because they have played fewer away games than any team in this division, and yet they have won two games more, at least away from home, than any other team in this division. To find a side with 9 away wins in 13 at an odds against price anywhere would be worth backing. But also, it's Stevenage they're playing. Now, Stevenage have played two extra games compared to Swindon since Christmas, and while Swindon have four wins in five, Stevenage have one. That was a 1-0 win over Chesterfield, which is hardly mind-blowing at the moment. Their two games against Reading in the FA Cup means this will be Stevenage's eighth game in the last month alone, and they only have 16 players with more than 10 appearances this season in their squad. Now, reliance on a core squad does bring cohesion, it also brings fatigue. Stevenage may have just signed an Arsenal youngster, but this would be his debut. Swindon have been busier earlier in this window and had veteran Mark Richards scoring twice on his debut at the weekend. I'm not a head-to-head backer, but if you are, Swindon have also won six of the club's eight meetings. But 9 away wins in 13 this season. That's your key stat. It's a no-brainer for me. Swindon are 6-4.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.